Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back to the Lent Roosthaken podcast presented by Zwift. Ella here with Benji for the Alpecin de Koenig, formerly Alpecin Phoenix, formerly Corendon Circus, formerly Beobank Corendon. Many names. They had the mid-season name change. The Belgian sponsor Carousel goes round. De Koenig comes over from Quickstep. Sound like a bit of beef to me, given what happened in the press, I think. Yeah. And they're over to Alpecin, who are sort of trying to become the new Quickstep. At least that's how I see it. And for present purposes for this pod, we're going to assume they're world tour. They said they applied. They announced that in the Giro, maybe, rest day. And they meet all the other criteria because I don't think we're kicking out a shampoo company and a window company from world tour. So they're in a pretty good season, Benji. Like, just another really solid season for maybe their budget went up a couple of mil. But it's still a much better season than teams like A22R or Trek, who probably have fatter budgets than them.
Yeah, and we need to keep in mind that 2021, I'm pretty sure we started shouting great words about his team. 33 victories in 2021. I think Mathieu van der Poel obviously getting loads of those into the Swiss, to the France, on Mur de Bretagne and so forth. And it really was a good season last year, but they stepped up. In terms of victories, they have 34 victories now. I see in that they have a total of 13 World Tour wins, and it started kicking off relatively late, I would say. Actually, I shouldn't say that. It started off early with the likes of sprint wins, like Merlier at Tirreno, Philipsen at UAE Tour. Those were early victories, but Mathieu van der Poel started late because of his injury, right? Because at the start of the year, we were still like paranoid whether he could return at the top step after his back injury from the mountain bike race last year. So it was a slowed return. And we saw him gradually move back into the season. And he came back at MSR. And it was the kind of MSR return where you're like, what level is Mathieu van der Poel going to be on? Nobody knows. But if he's starting, he's probably going to be on a decent level. But they're so coy in the press, Alpecin, right? Remember? When they were like playing with the press a bit?
Well, yeah, they said he's just doing it for training. he then came third at MSR, and he's going to blame him and Pogacar for Norwich winning, actually. But you go and look at that Poggio descent, how Van der Poel rode it. But listen, third is a great result. And like that Kolobnev Hotel, where he goes, where Campenaerts goes, the simulated altitude, being able to train at sea level in warm conditions, you know, near an airport, near civilization, I think it's clear that Van der Poel prefers it. It's, made a huge difference for him, I think. Well, maybe not. He had a great 2021 too. But, yeah, that's expect to see him there half the year next year too. And I think Remco's moved into town semi-permanently as well down in Denia. Anyway. Alpecin de Koenig, you will know, is the men's team that is part of Zwift Academy, offering a contract to a rider coming through Zwift Academy. It's Canyon Schramm. On the women's side, we have the graduate from Zwift Academy, Jay Vine, taking 2 World Tour wins at the Vuelta this year, but he subsequently left to UAE. We'll talk about that in a second, but Zwift Academy is coming up, so make sure you subscribe to Zwift on YouTube, follow them on Instagram in particular, and stay up to date with what's happening with Zwift Academy. It's one of the sort of, when we're starved of cycling, it's the perfect time of year when the shows drop later in the year in winter. So also a perfect companion for being on the trainer. So if you want to check out Zwift, the platform itself as well, you can get a free trial through the link below at Zwift.com. I think May Alderman got a contract as well, Benji, another graduate who got a second contract.
Yeah, she got her first year at Canyon SRAM, and then at the end of the year, she was, I noticed that her contract wasn't extended yet. I was like, okay, give her another year chance. Come on. Like, these riders get their first chance in World Tour, have an opportunity, but not greatest opportunities. I want them to have multiple years of opportunities. And I think Jumbo Visma's now given her another chance with an extra year in World Tour. So let's see what Maut Aderman does there. I think Alex Bonia is still at Alpecin Dev Team, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, exactly. He wrote a relatively anonymous season, but it can be that he's still putting that forward, because we noticed that the years before, not only when it comes to Jay Vine, but also on the women's side, that results are popping in. And yeah, it's a decent way to get into a contract for riders that aren't necessarily from countries where there's a good system to get into World Tour, right?
Yeah, if you're North America, South Africa, Oceania, honestly, it's like just about the best. If you're not a Matthew Dinham who has some World Tour interest, you know, 22, mountain biker, already performing well in Europe, if you're not performing in Europe, it's the only way if you're in Australia.
Maybe Asia. I'd argue that Japanese riders could also filter through it.
True. And yeah, I don't know how the seasons work. Is Japan in the Northern Hemisphere? Because Australians do have a bit of an advantage in that we and the Kiwis, that you can peak for your summer racing, and you're also peaking a bit for Zwift Academy, I think. Anyway, that aside, Alpecin de Koenig, I think you have to give it above average season. They won multiple stages in all three Grand Tours, three in the Giro, two in the Tour, two in the Vuelta. They won the Tour of Flanders, so they won a monument. For a team that's not a GC-focused team, to win those stages, to win a cobbled classic with some minor ones, Brugge de Panne and Trois d'Or, that's just tick, tick, tick. That's all you want, really. And what impressed me as well, last year, only three riders won World Tour races, Philipsen, Van der Poel, Merlier. This year, they added three additional riders, Aldani with Andries de Bont with the Giro stage wins. Now, I think one of them should have won last year too, but that's good from the Giro. Because you compare to, say, Jumbo. Actually, no, Karen Bowman won to the Giro. So I was about to be unfair to Jumbo, but my point is the opposite. and Jay Vine won at the Tour de Vuelta. So I would say the team's getting a little bit deeper as well. And that's kind of borne out by their transfers, Benji, with last year the transfers coming in were not the top guys. I think Stannard was the best of them. Young, good prospect. I think he won, got pro race this year. But otherwise, it was Maresco. Aldani was good. This year, they've gone a bit bigger, particularly with three of the signings, Kranz and Herman Groves. Aren't these the riders that Quickstep used to sign?
I agree with you. I feel like when we take a look at the transfers, I first want to go back for a second, by the way. Like, let's not downplay Aldani too much. I feel like I'm a hype man for Aldani. I think last year I actually called him to win a Giro stage. So that hot take actually worked out. Same for Kofi, but I selected the wrong stage. Let's not talk about that too much. Anyway, transfer, you mentioned it. It is partially the riders that Quickstep would sign. As in, first of all, actually, it's mostly the riders that Quickstep would sign, except for like one, I would argue. If we take a look at the signings, you mentioned them, Sonnenkronos and Hermans Groves. Quickstep has always had a focus in the past on sprints and cobble races. And you've mentioned it in last year's podcast about Alpecin as well, that we noticed a gradual transition or a transition into becoming stronger in two areas without focusing on other areas. And those two areas were sprinting and cobble races, the same kind of style that Quickstep did it in, as in having two sprinters and having a cobble team. And Vine was kind of the odd duck out, right? Vine was kind of the GC rider. Exactly. Tobias Beyer was potentially that in 2021, but didn't really pop out in 2022. So he's kind of, I wouldn't say stagnated. I feel like he's gone down, but he had a serious crash, I think, a few times, maybe in 2021 Velta or something, and then he hasn't really come back from that completely. So let's hope it works out for him in the coming year. But I feel like the fact that, first of all, Caden Groves, Philipsen, but 1.5 years earlier in my eyes, in his progress, I'd say Caden Groves' aim should be to transition into Philipsen in the next year and a half. Because if we take a look at the opportunities, obviously Philipsen is going to get the Tour de France. So Caden Groves is likely going to end up with the Giro, which honestly fits him parkour-wise. It is the sprint stage with hills in it. So it's much better for a Groves than it would have been for a Merlier, right?
Oh, yeah. Groves is like, we looked at his data, and when he's in good shape, he climbs exceptionally well. Like, I think he did 6 watts per kilo for 6 minutes 3 times in a row with no rest in between in one of the Polonia stages. It then finished uphill where he couldn't compete, but he was in the bunch at the base of the final climb. I was like, holy shit. So he's a really versatile sprinter. Yeah, it makes sense. He goes to Giro. I'm not sure he's that cheap, actually. I think they're paying a decent
cheaper
amount.
Cheaper than Merlier.
For sure, cheaper than Merlier. And it says a lot, doesn't it? Like, they let a Belgian champ go to bring an Australian in, and who's not on a Neopro salary either, like Plowright, the other sprinter they brought in. So, I mean, hats off to Alberson for bringing in the Aussies, I guess.
But when it comes to Merlier, we're talking about that Belgian champion leaving the team for Caden Groves to take his place. But if we have to be honest, his season wasn't great. I think the most important races he won, Tirreno stage, Brugge de Ponne, and then some random 1.1 farmers races in Belgium. And that's kind of it, right? Or am I missing a big one? I feel like those are the ones I'm thinking of when I think of Merlier, and he didn't really pull it off.
Really bad.
Yeah, for certain. He should have gotten a stage at a Grand Tour this year, and he didn't end up having that. Can we blame the fact that he didn't necessarily have a lead out with Ricard? I don't think so, because even then, there were sprints where he should have been competitive and wasn't. And I do think, going further on this point, that we might see the factor that this team needs to have 2 sprint trains, right? For Caden Groves and Philipsen play out next year. Who are they going to send with Groves? Who are they going to send with Philipsen? And I'm really like trying to figure out. Ricard's probably going to be back, hopefully. So hopefully. That's Philipsen camp, right?
Yeah, Ricard's the premium guy. And then Krieger would be the B guy.
Robert Hayes, the guy that they signed we haven't spoken about. The dude that won, didn't even like some random Balwaza Belgium tour stage against Remco and Stuyven, or am I completely fucking that up in my head?
Well, he won a stage of the RAS back in 2018, so he gets credit for that.
And post-RAS.
Don't be mean. He came ninth in GP Canac. He kind of looks, he's not like Merlier, because remember Merlier was doing really good in those amateur commesses. He just looks like he's going to be straight into the lead out in that B train, in those semi-classics that they do. They do so many, like, he came 15th in Gent Wevelgem. Like, he's good, not a scrub. I think he's a perfectly good signing, Robbie Hayes. They need riders like that to support the multitude of sprinters they have.
There's also the aspect of him that I think he's one of the riders. I could be completely wrong, but I recall him being a rider that also does Trek and does the 6 days of Ghent here. So maybe there's some like local marketing aspect to it as well. But next to Robert Gijs, there's also a few Belgians leaving. Julien Vermolten not being named as where he's going to be going. Whether he's going to be extended or not, we do not know. Floris de Tir to Bingwall. I'm going to start saying Bingwall as well because you say it as well. But Guillaume van Kersbulk is the surprise for me because I feel like the guy ended up on the dev team first of Alpecin, went to the pro team, ended up doing a really good Paris-Roubaix, right? I swear he was like one of the most important people for Vanderpool. Top 20 strength in riders, ended up 29th if my memory serves me right. Like, that's a rider that could have been re-signed. And he's going good to Bingwall.
It must be for leadership. It must be. or they gave him a little bit of extra money. I don't know. I don't think the Rudolph brothers are. I don't think they open the checkbook that easily. Kind of like, so maybe Bingoal, you know, 10 grand extra, 15 grand extra, and he'd get to lead at Paris-Roubaix, which, you know, why wouldn't you jump at that if you're him? I thought he was quite good at big, just a big rouleur. Even in the Tour, he was like fine. I thought he was even pretty good at the Tour de France, which he did as well. But yeah, it's odd to see guys who are good enough to get picked for a team's Tour team leave. But yeah, he's out. Sieur de Bax to UAE, bizarre signing from UAE's perspective. I think basically the guy, he won like an Italian semi-classic. He's 26.
And he was strong at the Dutch NCs as well, where he was trying to like fold up the Jumbos. But I don't think it worked. So yeah, I don't know. He's not the number one signing I would have thought of when it comes to UAE. I don't think he's going to be the biggest miss for Alpecin either, but hey, maybe he evolves into like some crazy ruler that we don't see at the moment, but
no,
I guess he's leaving Alpecin.
Yeah, it's just a bizarre. He won Agostoni after not doing too much before September. And the guy's never been really competitive at World Tour level in UAE sign him. So, I mean, why would Alpecin match that money? The answer is they shouldn't, so they let him go. And, yeah, Dattir out, a bit surprised. The big one was Vine Benji leaving. So Tullet got bought out by Ineos the year before, who was like 20 and came top 12 in flesh and with no support. Really unbelievably good Neo Pro season. And then Vine does okay first year last year, good in Norway, and then breaks out in the Vuelta. And they let him go because he had a contract for next year. Like, I don't really understand their logic. I mean, obviously, you know, maybe they wanted the cash.
Has to be the money.
But I don't know why. Alpecin, they just don't. I don't know, they don't really think long-term. Like, wouldn't you want to just say he's on a ridiculously low contract? Wouldn't it have been better to be like, extend him and increase next year's contract, you know, a little bit and then keep him for longer? That's what a lot of teams do.
I think so as well. But there's also the aspect, I think, of we looked at this team earlier and we said, okay, this is becoming the old school quick step with two sprinters and the cobble team. We saw it said that last year already. And maybe they don't feel like they're ready to step into the GC aspect, the climbing aspect at all. Maybe that's the reason. But it leaves them so vulnerable in so many race days throughout the season where they won't be able to go for GC in any Grand Tour or World Tour race unless the Bingo Bongo Tour comes back. And then we notice that when it comes to mountain breakaways, they're also barely competitive because Vanderpool needs to do it. Sandro Muris hasn't been able to do it either recently. And Tobias Beyer is not on that level. So in so many stages throughout the season, they're not competitive because they don't have that climbing aspect. Even having someone like a Gianluca Brambilla could have been an option for that. Unless you think that Nicola Conchi could be the man that could go into a Giro breakaway and do something. Potentially, he was the guy that descended to the wheel of Pogacar and Mike, and that's the only thing I remember from him when Pogacar was shouting, fuck these tires in that descent in Slovenia, remember?
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe I would have caught up to them. I think they were going 15 k's an hour after they nearly crashed. They stopped pedaling. But yeah, he was quite good. He was good in Norway. He was good in the Italian semi-classics. If you want to, Norway third, second on the last stage behind sixth in Sicily. Like, he had a good season all around, 25. I wouldn't be surprised. Joining the UAE, he makes much more sense as a signing after this year, I think. Like, Italy's not that deep with talent. Like, Nicola Conti, he's like one of their most talented young riders, and he's not even that young. But incomings, Sergen Kral will go into the classic squad. He comes from DSM. And so, yeah, I probably expect a bounce back year. Will Hermans be the Ardennes leader, or co-leader in Amstel and then leader in Liège?
It's very intriguing, because if we take a look at those two riders, Søren Kåre Andersen, he was the strongest, I'd argue, with his, he had the strongest attack on the Poggio, right? At MSR, he was really strong. He was the one that put Pogacar in trouble, that put all the riders in trouble on that final steeper slope of the Poggio, the spot where you need to attack. He calculated that in, perfect spot to attack, and it didn't end up getting much for him, because he needs to get away to be able to win something. When it comes to Cobbles, he's the rider that doesn't necessarily have the, well, I'm talking against myself here, he had a great punch on the MSR, but he's not having that punch on a Paterberg and so forth in recent years. So he needs to be the Van Baarle type of rider where he attacks before the climb and then try and gets a bit of an advantage or rolls attacks and tries to put Van der Poel into a better position that way. I feel like it's a very good addition to the team, and I feel like if Søren Kåre Andersen has that bounce back here, that it could really cause Alpecin to be able to win a classic just because of the teamwork between Søren Kåre Andersen and Van der Poel. But is it in, I don't know, is it against Van der Poel's nature to have his teammates close down gaps? So I think Van der Poel might have to adapt to the factor that he's got people now that can close down gaps, like Søren Kåre Andersen. And also, I think that Quinten Hermann should ride RVV, because this guy has never done a cobble race, a World Tour cobble race in his life, but the dude has done a STX. He can punch. I feel like RVV should really work for him. You could even try it in Omloop and see how it works and see what he does on those hills and see if that delivers something. But this man should definitely be able to do that. I agree, though, that he's likely going to end up with co-leadership in the Ardennes as well. I think Amstel is Van der Poel, but I think LBL might be Hermans, because I don't think Van der Poel will ride all the cobble classics, Amstel, Flesch, and LBL, although I would love to see Van der Poel at Flesch.
Don't you think they've bought high on Hermans?
Very possible.
Like, do you expect Quinten Hermans to podium Liège again next year? I absolutely don't. Which got everything out of their riders. I think they've bought really high.
But who else do they have for it? Like, I think they had like 17 for something with Rob Stannard at LBL. Yeah. It's not going to break through and suddenly win LBL as well. So I think it's maybe the best chance they have at top fiving again or top tening again.
Yeah, and he's good in like Ronde van Limburg. He's good in sort of, he came third in the Bemisse Classics, the Hamburg race as well. He was in that Wout van Aert Haller group. So listen, he had a good year from like start, virtually the start to finish. But it was his best ever year. He's 27 and he's won two races, and they were, one of them was the Balwaza stage this year. So I don't know what they're paying him, but there was beef between him and Intermarché as well. Yeah. Not sure who to blame. I blame mostly Intermarché.
Everybody.
Well, I hate when teams get salty about their rider leaving, because it's like, if this guy has a bad year, you don't extend him out of charity in 99% of cases. So like, I heard, this is a business.
I heard that Hermans apparently came back after either LBL result or a great result and asked for more money, which is a logical thing to do, or his agent did, because that's how it works, right?
And they were like, a contract. Kind of,
and they seem to have kind of, they've been shocked by that apparently. That's the rumors inside info that I heard behind the scenes. But there's a final man we haven't spoken about. A man close to your heart. You've been hyping him up way too much to my liking this last year. Jensen fucking Plowright. Is he like, has he ridden with Grosjean and Mitchell to make quits? Is this a situation where, is he actually, I think he's decent because he comes from Groupama U23 Conti team. But is he decent then he might become a sprinter in the future? Or is he a lead out sprinter?
Nah, he's a sprinter. He's a sprinter.
Okay.
If you go back and look at my Bakeritz video from like 2 years ago, nearly 3 years ago now, nearly three, you'll see him in that crit with Groves, with Durbridge, with Wellsford, and dive bombing corners. He's only 22, so he was young then. He was probably like 20, 19 then. He's a sprinter. And
mate, New Zealand Cycle Classic is OP. Like every time, 2 years after the New Zealand Cycling Classic, we see the riders that top treat those races going to World Tour. We've had it with Jensen Plaurat. We had it with Quick Blake now, or Blake Quick, whatever his name is.
Quick Blake.
And the other dude, all the New Zealand guys at Groupama itself as well, like Piffy and so forth. Those were also good there. So I feel like that race is really good for like 2 years later.
Did Piffy go through the windscreen of a car this week?
Wait, what?
I swear it was him or Tom. I think it was Piffy.
What have you been doing with your car?
No, he put up on Instagram just a photo of a cracked windshield, and he's like, oh, should stop hitting these. I was like, bro, it's the most like understated Kiwi thing ever.
Anyway, yeah, they just had their fourth Grand Tour, the Tour of Southland. Fucking great. Anyway,
Tour of NRS race, the Tasmania, Tour of Tasmania's on at the moment as well. And I'm like getting our chakra on if he's desperate to do some watts per kilo calculations. They do like one like 6 minute hill climb, get him to calculate that, see if we can find someone for World Tour. But yeah, Plaurat, 3 year deal at Alpecin. I would say this is the perfect spot for him to sign, apart from maybe an Intermarché. Because if you go to Quick Step, there's more sprinters ahead of you.
Yeah.
There's
without Merlier, it would have been great.
Who?
Where? Without Merlier, it would have been great at Quick Step.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Without, but there's three ahead of him there. So he'll get chances, I think, straight away. There's so many races that this team does that need to miss classic sprinter. And yeah, I'm keen to see how he goes. I'm not sure how he climbs, but they do a lot. Merlier had a lot of success at this team without being able to climb.
So
it doesn't really matter. They got Groves and Phillipson for that. So how would you rate their signings overall, Benji? I would say I knocked them for Vine leaving, but still I think a net positive. The positive as well is they can attract now a Søren Krogh Andersen who says, I want to go to Alpecin De Koninck. I think that's a big change to even 2 years ago.
I think so as well. I personally believe that I'm not that knocked off by the Vine leaving necessarily because I think it's a financial question for Alpecin as well. And you got to keep in mind, every time Mathieu van der Poel wins, I think if he wins another RVV, if he wins another Roubaix, his salary probably increases quite a bit as well. They also renegotiate behind the scenes probably. So how much do you think van der Poel salary is, by the way? It has to be like 4 or 5 mil, right?
I don't reckon it's 4 or 5.
I don't think so either, but I think it should be.
He's worth 7. 7 or 8.
I think like, it's 1.5 to you.
Nah, it's not 1.5. Nah, if it's 1.5, just imagine. Give me a call, bro.
You'd be paying it. You'd literally get a loan from the bank and be like, come on, write for us.
I'll start my own team. If that's how
right from Australia Cycling Academy.
1.5. I mean, Jesus. I don't know. I guess 3. He makes money from the cyclocross. He makes money from other things.
Well, you make a lot of money from cyclocross.
Yeah. They let him do mountain bike and fuck his back up. So, you know, maybe other teams wouldn't let him do that. Ineos might.
But they have an insurance on him, so.
He's worth 5 at least. He's worth 5 at least, I think.
I think so as well.
Without him, riders like Søren Krogh, you know, he's the real figurehead, and they know that. But I doubt he's on that. But there's also loyalty, I guess. He's been with the team for a long, long time. I'd say those transfers are a net positive. For the Cobble Classics next year, they will have you touched on this a bit already. Do you actually think they would pursue or even pretend to pursue a dual leader strategy with Søren Krogh?
They should in some shape or form. As in, Van der Poel's the peak spear point. I think Søren Krogh Andersen is the earlier mover, like a Van Baarle BTEC. He's obviously not on level of Van Baarle, but he's a rider that can go early and can put pressure on other teams and can make it so that if, for example, this man goes, he might trigger... I don't know who he's going to trigger, Jesus Christ, but He might trigger someone to go, or he might be there to be able to close down a gap for Vanderpool so that Vanderpool doesn't have to follow each attack necessarily. So
yeah.
I think it's an addition in that sense, where he might get into a situation where he gets into a competitive position because he was sent up the road to counter offensive, something like that. I don't know if that sentence even remotely made sense, but you know what I mean. And the same factor counts for Hermans, but I feel like Hermans is more of a... He can also have a bit of a sprint, but he's more of a domestique type, I think, than Kranesen would be in these cobble races.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see because, you know, you look at footage in previous years. I don't know where it was. There was a video before Flanders.
Yeah.
It might be the Flanders Classic video on YouTube. And they're sitting in the meeting room before the race. And, you know, Rudolf's saying, everything is about Mathieu. We ride for Mathieu today. So it'll be interesting to see if they use these talented riders and shift strategies a little bit and how they do that because it is a change. Cobble Classics, go on.
Does it make them more competitive having these riders? I think a tiny bit, but I don't think it will make the biggest needle move because we've been speaking about Quickstep team. Cobble race is there. We haven't spoken about Jumbo's Cobble team yet, but it's stronger again with Van Barle joining. With Alpecin getting a tiny bit better, it kind of counters Quickstep. Jumbo getting a bit better counters Quickstep, but Jumbo getting better counters both Quickstep and Alpecin, right?
Yeah, like Jumbo have to win Flanders and Roubaix.
If they don't, it's a failure.
Well, I have to win one because the Cobble team is ridiculous. With Van Baarle coming in, Trautman coming in, So. They have numbers. The thing is, that's the thing. What will Alpecin do when Tejs Benoot attacks with 85 kilometers to go? Will, as you say, Søren Krogh pull it back slowly in the group behind? Will he join Hermans. The move? Yeah, will they have Hermans join the move? Because Hermans joining Benoot's great because he'll beat him in the sprint. Yep. So Hermans is good in that way. It's interesting to see how they use these extra riders. But in terms of the teams are very straightforward. They will send Philipsen, I think, will do the Brugge Panna and Wevelhems of this world early in the classic season, those flat sprints. And Van der Poel will then do E3 to Asdor, you know, RVV Roubaix. Van der Poel will do the Tour de France, I think. The Giro Tour combo this year did not work. It worked for the Giro, did not work for the Tour. I think he has to do the Tour with the possibility of taking yellow in the first few stages. To me, is a no-brainer. And they will also take Philipsen to the Tour for all the flat sprints. Giro will be interesting. It's Groves. It's Groves, Conchi, Aldani, right?
Exactly. Caden Groves for the sprints, like we mentioned earlier, those versatile sprints fit him a lot. It's also not all versatile sprints, so the flat ones should also give him opportunities. He's still competitive there. Who is going to be his lead out? The Krieger types that you mentioned, for example, Robert Hayes perhaps in that team, although he's Belgian, so he fits more with the Philipsen train. I don't know why that just works in my head more. But I don't know. I feel like Caden Groves is clear for Giro. Philipsen is clear for Tour de France. How competitive is Groves and Philipsen at these Grand Tours? We saw that Philipsen was winning two stages at the Tour de France last year, including Champs-Élysées. But we have to consider that while Alpecin's lead-out wasn't perfect and therefore he could have won four stages if his lead-out was better, the other team's lead-outs were awful as well. Like, I can barely remember if there was like a competitive lead-out from any team in the Tour de France.
Quickstep's on stage three was good, and Jakobsen bottled the corner.
And that's it, right?
Yeah. Jumbo were just using Laporte as a pilot. I think Philipsen will be fine. I think he'll win again at the Tour. I think Groves that will win. They always just seem to win at least one.
Yeah.
So I think they'll be fine. And they'll keep winning. I think Van der Poel needs to go for yellow though. In the Tour de France. Should Van der Poel try to go for GC in any race next year? We always talk about Van Aert, but Van der Poel in the Giro was really impressive in those mountain breakaways.
How about we talk about something different? How about we talk about the fact that Wolves is now before the Tour de France, and maybe Vanderpool could focus on a potentially hilly Lombardia.
Yeah, true. He could do what? Tour straight into Worlds, recover, altitude camp.
Yeah.
In preparation for Lombardia and the Italian classics. Ask Yes would love it. They need to do the, it need to be the right route. It need to be a soft route.
Unless he goes to the Vuelta after the Tour, which I would also enjoy.
Nah, fuck that.
Fuck the Vuelta.
Well, I think have Groves or someone do the Vuelta.
Rob Stannard.
Yeah. That's not a bad idea. But yeah, I'd be also interested to see, could Van der Poel go for, obviously at Bing Bang, Bingo Bongo, he could.
Polonia, he could.
Polonia, yeah. Could he, yeah, but could he at like a, I don't know.
Very difficult, huh?
Yeah.
Not Swiss, that's too much. Romandy, depending on the parkour.
Yeah.
I think Tirreno is going to be very difficult because it always has that one major mountain stage. Aranese depends on the year because we've had years where it was just hills and like time trials, eh?
Yeah, yeah.
Vanderpool requires a Tirreno like the Van Avermaet one where the last two stages are cancelled.
Yeah. I think winning will be one of those proper ones will be tough. But yeah. I think podium is possible if there's a really soft mountaintop finish, actually. But yeah, I'm keen to see how Vanderpool goes. I think he can have a better season next year, actually. I think his season this year, he did a lot early. He rushed back. But I think his 2020 and 2021 was better. I don't have the facts to back that up. It's just a gut feel that 2020 and 2021 was slightly better. And I think that was related to the back injury.
I think it's just that the Giro, the Tour de France just gave like a meh aftertaste to a season, I feel like. If the season ended after RVV, would have been like, oh, he won a monument. But it's kind of like we expect more from him these days. So I do expect a better season as well. The only factor is if Jumbo is that much stronger when it comes to the couple season, can he win Paris-Roubaix or RVV? Because if he doesn't, it's not a better season.
True. Yeah, he won. In 2021, he won more races, but he didn't win a monument. In 2020, he won RVV, and this year he won RVV as well. But yeah, there's after the Giro, he didn't win a World Tour race this year on the 6th of May. So yeah, his season kind of petered and out. I feel like I'm missing Worlds.
I'm missing the long-term attacks. It's been a while since we've seen. I think Coppi Bartali, didn't he do Coppi Bartali before MSR as like a training thing? And then he attacked on like a climb at the start of a race and then called back to the breakaway. The breakaway was caught with him. And then he ended up winning the Peloton sprint anyway. Like, I'm missing that in World Tour races this year, which is a really stupid like thing to say. It's like a first world luxury problem that, Mathieu Van der Poel is winning too boringly, which is, he's still winning. He's still fucking great, but I miss the Bing Bang solo, the Castelfidardo solo, that kind of stuff. That was glorious. I don't know why. Nah. Anyway,
yeah,
my rant.
Yeah. He did say he wants to race smarter, and he did race a lot smarter this year. I think his tactics were really, really good for the most part. But yeah.
Especially in Duarte's.
Yeah. Yeah. He was just much better. But wow, he really doesn't race very much, does he? He races the same as Pidcock. 30 race days in 2020, 34 in 2021, 49 in 2022.
Plus 10, that's 15 with CX Grand races. Tour.
Pardon?
Plus 10, 15 CX races.
Yeah. I mean, do we need to do hot takes? Is cyclocross ruining Mathieu Van der Poel's road potential? and mountain biking. I actually think yes, but that's not the game.
Ruining is a big word. I think it's reducing what he could achieve.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, we're road focused only. There's a lot of marketing benefits and money in cyclocross and mountain bikes, so it makes sense. And it keeps like Canyon, they well, you know, they'd rather have a rider probably doing all three disciplines and then only turning up to the big, big, big events to put on a show on the road. But yeah, that's Alpecin de Koenig. What do you think? Do you think they'll have a better season next year, Benji? Do you think they'll win more than 13, 14 World Tour races, get a monument again, Grand Tour success?
I don't think so. I somehow feel like...
I don't see a monument.
I don't see the monument happening either unless he pulls off MSR, which is possible if Søren Krogh Andersen gets over the Poggio together with Van der Poel, because then they have two riders over the Poggio. So then Søren Krogh Andersen can roll attacks or control attacks that happen too far. I think Van der Poel's going to win MSR.
I think MSR is one of the most likely, because Roubaix and Flanders just has... I think there'll be a lot of work to do for those two against the other teams. But MSR is a pretty clear and obvious strategy, which I'm not sure many other teams can combat. It's a pretty lethal duo for...
Jumbo should be able to.
Yeah, Tratnik and Wout van Aert. Jumbo should be able to as well, but... You know, maybe Søren Krogh Andersen attacks in the last K and a half and Tratnik's not able to bring him back, or I don't know. Like, it's possible. Because I think Søren Krogh is stronger than Tratnik on the Poggio. I agree. I think they'll win over 10 World Tour races again. They just have too many good sprinters not to. But I don't think they'll have the monument success. I don't think so. But I do think Van der Poel wins Worlds next year. I think it suits him.
I think they win less Grand Tour stages. Because Philipsen winning two at the Tour de France. I think Van der Poel's going to win at least one at the Tour de France. I think Groves might win one or two at the Giro.
Yeah.
So that's three. At the Vuelta, they would require Groves to go there, which is possible. Then he can get one or two. But they need like six, right? Or am I stupid? It is six, right? Three at the Giro, one at the Tour, and two at the Vuelta? No, two at the Tour. They need seven to be able to. They can't do that, I think, next year.
Probably they won't. It depends. Philipsen could clean up all the Tour de France sprints, but without a great lead out, depends on Ricard coming back. But yeah, I think, do I really see Quinten Hermans winning like a Vuelta stage?
Yeah.
You know, maybe. It depends if they send him. Maybe, but they'll probably be sent. They probably won't send him there. They'll want him to do a different schedule or do the Italian classics. I don't know. But
the Tour, probably.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting to see how this team goes, the direction of it. But they're kind of, them and Intermarché are raiding the stocks of riders that Quickstep used to sign. And they're having a lot of success doing it as well. So I'm keen to see in particular how the two Australian sprinters go on this team and whether Stannard, he could improve in the Ardennes.
Yep.
Who knows? He could improve with Conchi. So they got a nice mix of young riders. I don't know the budget, but everything looking pretty good for Alpecin de Koenig as long as they can keep Mathieu van der Poel in one piece. So everyone will have to let us know if he's doing well in cyclocross. Is he? So that'll... is his back flat in CX? I don't know. We'll have to check. That's all for the Alpecin de Koenig preview. Thanks as always to Zwift for supporting the show, and we'll see you with the Trek Segafredo preview next. Ciao.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.